featuring the latest songs from artists in Canada and from around the world.
Hosted by DJs from coast to coast to coast.
30 minutes of Canada's newest music downloaded exclusively from the Earshot's digital distribution system.
You're listening to
Earshot Daily. Earshot Daily.
Welcome to Earshot Daily, a show hosted by multiple radio stations all across Canada. I'm Josh Morgan.
And I'm Vicky Morgan, and we're Mulberry Creek.
Hello.
Hello.
This is our first time doing this. We're pretty excited.
I've been meaning to for such a long time, and I was like, yeah, I'll do that this week. Oh, then the week passes, because time has no meaning anymore.
And that was a year ago.
That's a fact.
So I think we should just dive right in. Let's get started. Listen, we're a band. We're Mulberry Creek, and we're going to play one of our songs, and this song is called Jimmy Glenn.
Yep, Jimmy Glenn is about my brother, who I haven't seen in about a decade. And when I play this song live, I usually tell the crowd that I figure if I play this enough, if enough people hear it, eventually my brother will call me. So this is Jimmy Glenn.
One day we'll sit down with a box of pictures of all you missed. You can tell me all about a boy or girl you kissed. We'll pretend like all the years that passed don't mean a thing. My baby's all named after you. Where are you, Jimmy Glenn? Did you save the world you raged against our simple life? Couldn't be your mother, I was someone else's wife. Watched your back as you were leaving, hair flying in the wind. Each night I checked the mailbox for the postcards never sent. Jimmy Glenn, Jimmy Glenn, have you seen Jimmy Glenn? Jimmy Glenn, Jimmy Glenn, where are you, Jimmy Glenn? No calls or texts or letters in silence when I try. Hanging to the past you said before you said goodbye. I never really knew I held you back with my closed mind. One day you might come back and see the life you cannot find. I prayed every night that you were happy, safe and loved, till I stopped believing someone's listening above. Still searching for my brother, Montreal was your last stop. Jimmy Glenn is out there somewhere, so where are you, Copper Top? Jimmy Glenn, Jimmy Glenn, have you seen Jimmy Glenn? Jimmy Glenn, Jimmy Glenn, where are you, Jimmy Glenn? Jimmy Glenn, can you hear me? Can this song soften your heart? Jimmy Glenn, it still beats for you. I knew it from the start. Couldn't be all that you needed, but I'll give it all I got. Jimmy Glenn, you can come back home and give it one more shot. You might be a millionaire or a beggar on the street. I don't want to see the picture standing at your feet. I'll say it in a song, don't know where I went wrong. Piece of me still missing, can't believe that you're still gone. Jimmy Glenn, Jimmy Glenn, have you seen Jimmy Glenn? Jimmy Glenn, Jimmy Glenn. Jimmy Glenn, Jimmy Glenn, where are you, Jimmy Glenn? Jimmy Glenn, Jimmy Glenn, have you seen Jimmy Glenn? Where are you, Jimmy Glenn?
The future of music is here.
Earshot Daily.
So that was Jimmy Glenn by us, Mulberry Creek.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's next?
So this week is going to be a little bit different from the usual Earshot shows, I think, because we're going to play an interview that we did with a musician that came through here in St. John's, Newfoundland a week ago.
Yep. He's one of my favorites.
Yeah, he was incredible. His name is Eamon McGraw, and he's out of Toronto, but he was touring. He is still touring through Newfoundland. And he stopped and gave us some time and did an interview and even gave us a live acoustic version of his song Chlorine.
Yeah, it was awesome. And we actually, while he was in town, because we own a video production company and why not just do what we can with what we got, we did a little profile for Eamon that's on his page as well. I think it's eamonmcgraw.ca, and he's also on Facebook and all that stuff. So you can see it's kind of an intimate little up close and personal thing. And also, you get to hear it now. We're going to run the interview that we did with Eamon right now.
So here's our interview with Toronto musician Eamon McGraw.
How long have you been playing professionally?
So I've been touring since 2007, but there's like always an initial 5 years of time investment, and so I was able to quit my day job for real in about 2016.
How busy were you during the pandemic?
How did I survive during the pandemic? Well, I gave myself a quota initially when it started. I gave myself a quota of a song a day, and I just pretty much wrote and recorded nonstop. I worked for a brewery briefly. And then when film started to go full speed ahead at the beginning of this year, I made the jump into being pretty much on set full time. I got my IATSE permit. And as soon as I was able to play music again and I was fully vaxxed and enough people in Canada were vaccinated to be comfortable with going to see shows, I immediately started playing music again. And it's August 12th today, and as of June 4th, I'll have done over 35 shows. So it's like, for me, it's been really good. It's been like full speed ahead to being a full-time touring musician again. And I've been really enjoying it because people have been, first of all, super grateful that music's back. Second of all, really, really attentive. And third of all, it's been nice to be able to make the same amount of money playing to, like, you know, small, focused crowds that I was playing to, you know, uninterested, hammered crowds of 300 people, you know, like it's been great. I feel it. I think that story right now, the cape, like the potential for sort of any kind of artistic catharsis or whatever is higher than it's ever been. And now I think that it's this sort of the great flood happened, and I think that it like. Both audience members and musicians alike have, the ones that have really proven to be passionate about it have bubbled to the surface, right? And we all knew that was going to happen. And from the start, I was confident that, you know, private, intimate house shows and, you know, really small attended show, like, you know, private, small attended, limited capacity shows, acoustic shows, those would be the first to return. And like, lo and behold, here we are, right? Because you can't have we're at this point where it is really, really tough to pull off like a full band, savage rock and roll, punk rock endeavor, because every single person on stage is a person that can't attend, right? So it's a great time for songwriters, in my opinion. It's a great time for folk music.
How do you, when you're on the road by yourself and there's nobody to kind of complain to at the end of the night, if the crowd's not great or if it went really well, like how do you keep yourself company on the road?
There's definitely like some Tom Hanks talking to the volleyball moments, man. Like it gets pretty wacky. But yeah, when I started touring alone, it was very lonely, especially in Europe, because there'd be, I mean, I wrote a book about that, how lonely an experience that is. And there'd be days, you know, where you'd go 15 hours without hearing or speaking the English language, right? Like that's a totally lonely thing. So, it can be very lonely, but it's, you know, like the shows make it worth it.
Tell me about the book.
So I wrote a book called Here Goes Nothing, which came out last September, 2020. And it was a pretty wild experience releasing a book about touring when you weren't able to tour. So that was quite the conundrum. But ECW Press did a great job in promoting it. They came up with some really creative strategies to market it. And now I'm finally on the road like, you know, promoting the book about being on the road. And yeah, it was an interesting exercise, because for me the line between songwriting and being an author or whatever is so thin that you know, you found yourself over the course of the whole pandemic sort of administering all the things you would if you were playing music without the cathartic payoff of the show, you know? Like, that's the end goal, in my opinion, of any touring, right? Is like, you do all this promotional work and you bust your ass to get people out, to get people in the room. So it was a really strange experience where you're doing all this legwork and that you'd normally do with that in mind, and that was just completely irrelevant, right? And
you don't get the applause.
You don't get any, yeah. I mean, you don't get anything.
There's no immediate feedback.
You don't get applause. You don't get the chance to connect with people. You don't get to, you know, I didn't get to see people that I'd work with or see, you know, like connect with or whatever. Sometimes up to two or three times a year, all across the world. You know, whether that's friends or other musicians or promoters or people in my band or people in other bands or whatever. It's like, it was really, really strange to spend so much of your life trying to cultivate the creation of an international sort of DIY community that transcends borders and capitalism and all, like, and then to have that just sort of taken away from you while trying to still sell this product to all these people was pretty strange. So yeah, I mean, I'm like, I've been overjoyed to be able to actually, you know, hand someone a book and see the, and like feel and see that excitement and the connection again. I mean, that's like the whole reason why artists that tour do it, right?
So here you're for your St. John's dates. You have tonight, you have the show with the Ship, and your Joel Hines is opening up for you.
Right.
What's the relationship with Joel?
So my relationship with Joel Hines has been a very artistically fruitful and long one. Him and I met in Toronto. He reached out to me in Toronto, God, must be like over 10 years ago now. Somehow he got a hold of my first like proper record, 13 Songs of Whiskey and Light, reached out to me about trying to collaborate on some shit together, and then time kind of went on, we stayed in touch, and then he ended up getting me to produce his album Dead Man's Melody, which came out a couple years ago. So I produced that, and then him and I, he's been really instrumental in bringing me out to Newfoundland. Like he was the driving force behind the first tour I ever did out here, which was the last March Hare, which I want to say was like 2016 or 2017 or something. So that's, I owe that to Joel for sure. Like he's the one that really opened the door for me to being able to connect with this place. Introduced me to a lot of people that I still know now. He really did show me the lay of the land, and yeah, I mean, we continue to collaborate on a lot of things. Like the bill is great. Like when we play together, it always ends up being like a pretty rewarding experience for the audience, just because we've kind of had similar careers in the sense that, like, he's sort of like, He's for, you know, I don't want to speak for Joel, but it's like he's sort of foremost, first and foremost, a writer, you know, that sort of has been able to really successfully fit music into his canon. And I'm a musician that's, I like to think, hopefully successfully been able to fit being an author into my canon. So like we're kind of this yin yang thing, or this Venn diagram or whatever. And when we share a bill, it ends up, that really comes across. And I think people sort of see that cohesion a little bit. So, yeah, every show we've ever done together has been really successful. Dead Man's Melody is one of the greatest, you know, in studio experiences I ever had. It was great to be able to take songs that were, you know, essentially just like voice memos and then create that out of them. It was pretty great, and he's amazing to work with. Open to any ideas. He's like the furthest thing from a naysayer. The wildest, craziest thing is not out of bounds, And I sort of share that perspective on art too. Like no idea is too wild, right?
There seems like a similar vibe with you and Joel Hines. There's no like, oh, I can't say that, or, well, you guys put it all out there. Like, there's no fear, seems like.
There's definitely an outlaw spirit in the nature of rock and roll that makes it so great,
right?
Like you know, that's what makes it exciting. That's what makes it fun, is that element of danger. And I like to think that I try to sort of perpetuate that a little bit. There are going to be people that aren't going to be into that. It shouldn't happen. So.
So tell me, if somebody was looking you up, because this is like, let's assume somebody has never heard your name. What do you think is the best representation of you? Like, what songs would you tell them to go look up? What are your favorites?
What are the quintessential, definitive Eamon McGraw songs? That's a good question. I think Signals from Young Canadians is probably a really good sort of cross-section of that era, which was like the early 2010s. Probably Guts for the kind of stuff I'm doing now. I think I just sort of tried to have a conscious effort to move away from being pigeonholed as just like a snotty punk rocker, essentially. And I've made a pretty conscious effort to just incorporate just some other elements in what I do. So on Guts, we had the goal was to sort of make a record that didn't have any guitar at all, which ended up not being the case. Like, there's some guitar heavy songs, but for the most part that album was like piano and keyboards, and that was a conscious effort to move away from what I thought was just like a stereotypical obligatory punk rock sound, a predictable punk rock sound. And then all the touring for those records, for Tantrum and Guts, the last two albums I put out, has been really, really country sounding. That's been sort of where my head's been at. I toured with the Pedal Steel Player for 3 or 4 years. You know, so there was like a lot of twang to that touring, into those shows.
Is that, what's your favorite song to play? What's your, like, still, you're looking forward to it in the show. What's your favorite one to play?
There's a tune on Tantrum called Chlorine that I open most of my shows with. I really love playing that. It's just like, I can't imagine opening a show without playing that song. And it kind of, it's gotten to the point where I'm conditioned to just kind of like being in, like, it gets me into the headspace or whatever, so.
Is that also the one that people have responded to the best? Was that, like, did it make the connection with...
Yeah, I think people, it's the first song on the Tantrum album too, so I think people connect with it as sort of the album opener, for sure.
Is that possible to play that acoustically for us?
Yeah, I can play Chlorine acoustically, for sure. Apologist waits at the gates that lead to yesterday. But all it is a waste of all the words that you and I never say. At the back of your house, screaming your name. Waterfalls start washing all the things away that our love forgave. Climb the fences to the barbecues, the summer swimming pools. Hit our heads by sneaking in, we thought we were breaking every rule. Took off your shoes and ran like a falcon through the grass.
pool water in your wine only gave the taste of chlorine in your glass. If you believe, then dive in with me. You might not ever reach the bottom, but I'm telling you, it's only ankle deep. If you believe, then dive in with me. You might not ever reach the bottom, but I'm telling you, it's only ankle deep. Eyes are red with the chemicals that make the water green. Broke the surface and made violent what before was so serene. Down below, I was seeing just how deep the water'd go. And all the pool lights have that chlorinated glow. If you believe, then dive in with me. You might not ever reach the bottom, but I'm telling you, it's only ankle deep. If you believe, then dive in with me. You might not ever reach the bottom, but I'm telling you, it's only ankle deep. If you believe. When I think back, it's hard to know what kinds of nights were those. In those days, we'd hop the fence and take off all our clothes. Wouldn't even matter if all of us showed up a bit late for the show. Summer ended in September, but it took 20 years to snow.
You're listening to Earshot Daily, and we're Mulberry Creek. You can find more information at earshot-distro.ca.
So that was Eamon McGraw, a Toronto-based musician. And so up next, we've got a song from my pal, Mike Fisher, and it's the Mike Fisher Band. It's called I Could Have Tripped Richard Simmons, and this is a great little tune. I really like this one, so I'm really glad to be doing hosting Earshot so we can play some really, really cool music that our friends are making.
And so this is Mike Fisher's band with I Could Have Tripped Richard Simmons.
Hot night, it's a legend show. No waiting for the show to start. delightful. And Neil Diamond was a star. The door opened behind me, much to my surprise. Richard Simmons and a satin flag ran right by me. Could have tripped Richard Simmons and sent him to his death. Could have made the evening paper. I'll smile without regret. And I'd be famous in America. E.T. would fill my house. I could have tripped Richard Simmons, but that's not what I'm about. Well, Richard, I don't know you, but I think you're kind of weird. Your chair's kind of funny. Jumping here, jumping there. The ladies really love you. I must be the wacky clothes. I could have tripped Richard Simmons and sent him to his death. Could have made the evening paper and I would smile without regret. And I'd be famous in America. E.T. would fall my house. I could have tripped Richard Simmons. That's not what I'm about. Guitar!
Submit your music to be on the show at earshot-distro.ca.
So you're listening to Earshot Daily, and I'm Vicki Morgan.
And I'm Josh Morgan, and we're Mulberry Creek.
Earshot Daily is a show hosted by multiple radio stations across Canada, and we're very, very happy to be hosting this week. So that was, I think that's our first show, huh?
That's it. I think we're all done. And you can check out more Earshot Radio shows at earshot-distro.ca. And go check us out as well on Facebook and Instagram. We're Mulberry Creek.
Yeah. And so, of course, the Earshot Distro group is organized by the NCRA, which is the National Community and College Radio Association, which helps musicians get their music to at over 110 stations across Canada, which is just a great service when you're starting out or when you're a seasoned professional. It's really nice to be able to get your tunes on those stations. So thanks to the NCRA for that. And tune in tomorrow where there'll be a brand new Earshot Daily.
You've been listening to the Earshot Daily, heard across the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
For more information, visit earshot-distro.ca and support community radio at ncra.ca.
Until tomorrow, or Monday if it's Friday.